We're looking today at the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And I'm going to ask Deacon Smith to read 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verses 9 through 18, if you have your Bibles. The first chapter of 1 Samuel, verses 9 through 18. If you don't mind.
Amen. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth.
Yes.
Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her.
Amen. Praise God. I want to talk a little this morning, this afternoon now, about the dedication. The dedication. The act of dedication, as we have done today, is a reminder to young and old that God works in promises. That God works through promises and vows. When you vow something to God, what you're saying is, God, I promise to keep my word. Today, keeping the word, people's word, is not valued like it used to be. I remember our dad telling us, if a man don't have a word, he ain't got nothing. I remember that. If a man doesn't have a word, his own word, if he doesn't keep his word, he ain't worth nothing. And I share that with you today. This is what this biblical text is about, is that there was a promise being made by the mother of Samuel for her son, that he might be a man of God for the rest of his life. She promised that. That's what this is all about. Today, a man's word is not his bond. We're not saying they're a liar, but they don't keep the word. And you can figure out what that means if you don't keep the word. God is a man of his word. What God says is what God means. And what God means is what he says. You cannot read into God's word. Whatever God said, he put it in the text. And he holds us accountable for that truth. Nobody can go at the end of their time when they've already given their life and they've lived their life. They cannot say, well, God, nobody told me that I shouldn't be doing this. You won't have that excuse. Because you know, and it's been put in you, and you've heard it, and it's been shared with you, and you just disregarded it, and you got what you got. I know it sounds rough. I know it sounds cruel. But God is the God of his word. If God said that, you know, you're responsible for what you've been hearing and what you've been able to hear and live, and then he doesn't make sure that you keep it, then God would be a God of his word. And we know he's a God of his word. It's a shame because we're all bound to keep this word. The story of Hannah that we just read, this was a young lady who was barren. She could not have children. Her husband married two people, her and another woman. Yeah. The other woman had plenty of children, but Hannah could not have any children. She was distraught, hurt, and felt really bad. And the other woman who had children, would always make fun of her because she was not of considered a value. But Hannah said, I got something for you. My life has been depressing and I'm sad about some things. But verse 11 tells us the story. And it says, and she vowed a vow. She vowed a vow. That's what we did today. We vowed a vow over little Serenity, that we as family and they as parents would keep her in the right and the straight and the narrow. That's what we promised to do right here. She now is in the lineage of her heavenly father. See, listen now. When we're born, the Bible said we were born in what? Sin. And what? Shame. In iniquity. So even little Serenity was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But she made a decision by her parents and her grandparents and her family to say, I am going to be dedicated and I want to live for the Lord. That decision is already made for her. Now she has to try to keep up with it. She has to now keep the vow that we vowed that she would have. Ain't it all right, though?
Amen.
Praise God. Because see, there's a lot of parents who never have done that with their children. Amen. They've never promised their children to God. And I'm not saying that's the problem, reason why situations happen. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's a blessing upon her life right now that some would not get. She's got a head start in the kingdom walk. And I'm glad we had something to do with it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So Hannah had a difficult time trying to have a child. But when she said that when he was born, she said, I will see that he's kept like a Nazarite. In other words, he wouldn't cut his hair. He will be taught the right way. And he will be kept in the kingdom, in the working with Eli, the priest. He will be under his guidance. He was dedicated, Samuel was dedicated by his mother, Hannah, to be a godly man. I just crossed my mind, Lucinda. It just crossed my mind. Lucinda did that with us. Had us going to church as little kids. And the Bible says if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he gets old, he will not depart from it. In other words, he'll come back to it. That promise was made to her, for us, my brother and me and the rest of my family, because she was adamant. Then we went to church. What this dedication says is that we're raising serenity in the fear and admonition of the Lord. In the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want to talk to you about the fear of God. The fear of God is not that you're afraid of him. The fear of God is that you respect him with all that you have. That your walk is with him. That you talk with him. You have a regular communication with him. That is the admonition of the fear. You hear what I'm saying, church? Amen. The problem is that's not done today. Some people never heard of a dedication. Now listen, there's a difference between dedication and baptism. Okay? See, you dedicate them so they can get to baptism. Because see, right now, she has not been baptized. Her baptism will come when she becomes her own woman, her own adulthood, her own knowledge and knowing what's right and wrong. Then she will get baptized. Right now, this is before the baptism. Dedication is before the baptism. And you go to Catholic Church, they'll tell you, you're baptized when you're a baby. But see, baptism is on the person. The person has to believe. The person has to believe. If the person doesn't believe and become born again, he cannot get baptized by the word of God. That's why we do what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Our nation's problems, what's going on in the world, can be traced to disobedience. What is going on in the world today? I'm talking about the shootings and the murders and the, you name it, going on. It's because of a hard heart and disobedience. The word of God says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves in prayer and turn from their wicked ways, then will he heal the land. God requires us to have a relationship that we make. That relationship is based on a vow. God, I'm going to live the best I can. If you don't make a vow to God, then you have no relationship with him. I'm ready to close the book right now. You hear me, Gerald? I'm ready to close the book. Because it tells us that if you don't get that right from the beginning, then you have a problem at the other end.
Amen.
When you look at the Bible and you see how people have gone astray from the word, you know what I mean, astray? Astray means you don't believe the Bible is what it says. So if God says, don't do that, and then you think, well, he's talking to somebody else, says, he don't really mean to me, and I'm okay with God because I know what I... No, it ain't what you believe. It's what he says in the book. It's what this book says. This book says if you live in sin, you will die in your sin.
Amen.
That's what that book says. If you're disobedient to it, you will die in the disobedience. You got to come and change that in your walk, in your talk, when you make that vow to God, that promise. The promise that God, for God I live, for God I die. I live for him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. In other words, the faith that I have, God got me started here, and he's going to write it down, and I'm going to keep it the best I can until it's all said and done. God is very particular about his word. Those of us who have been studying in Jeremiah, in our Bible study, if you want to get on it, you're not on it, you can call it every Wednesday, Bible study at 7. And we see where God punished his people because they had ulterior gods. See, somebody's saying, wait, I don't have an ulterior God. Well, listen, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you got an ulterior God. You hear what I'm saying, church? If Jesus is not your Savior, you got somebody else that you believe in. Jesus said, follow me as I follow Christ. Examine me, keep up with me, obey me, live in me. That's what Jesus tells us in so many words. Somebody said, what scripture that, Rev? I saw it on the face of a couple people right there. I had to get out of that one. But that's what it is. God expects from us certain things in our lives.
Amen.
And if we do not do it, then it's on us. Many folk have chosen other life issues to be their main issue. Some people have said, I really don't care because God cannot be, here's the word they say. Well, if God is so loving, how could he let such things happen to certain people? Well, see, God allowed our forefathers to choose sin or not. He didn't make us robots and puppets. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
He did not make us robots and puppets. Now, if he made us so that we're going to do everything he says without any question, then he might as well, this is not what he called glory in him. Because he, you know, the trees glory in him. They don't say nothing, but they wave in the morning and when the wind blows and the trees, they're glorying God. But mankind has a mind that God gave us, and we can choose who we're going to serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Make a choice. God expects us to make a choice. And that choice is the right choice.
Yeah.
That song Sister Barbara and I'm saying, make a choice in the right direction. Make a step in the right direction. I'll get it right. Make a step in the right direction. As I close, Jesus himself was dedicated to his calling. Jesus was there to keep his word. He came to keep his word. He said, I, Father, I'll go and I'll die for them who are sinners. He went and kept his word. He died on the cross for sinners like you and me. He kept his word. He kept his vow. He was dedicated to his call. He came to save the lost. Did he save the lost? He saved you and me, right? He saved the lost. He gave sight to the blind. He was healing blind folk all over the place. He was true to his word. He came to defeat sin and to defeat Satan. He broke Satan's back with sin. He broke Satan's back. That's what he did. That's why Satan doesn't have power over you if you live according to the word. If you don't live to the word, he has power over you. He doesn't have the power over you when you live to the word. He can make some rough stuff for you, but God has your hand, has you in the palm of his hand. He's carrying us. we can begin to say, even though rough stuff happens, rough things happen, things go up and down, we can say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? And don't have victory no more. It did have victory. It has victory in somebody who does not choose Jesus. Death has victory in your life. Come on, somebody. Death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus showed us how to keep our word. He showed us how to keep our vow. Tell me today, have you made up your mind that you want to keep your vow? That you're going to live for Jesus for the rest of your life? Today is the day. Make that decision today. That yes, I'm living for Jesus. That I made my mind up. I'm true to my dedication. Just like Serenity is going to be true to hers, be true to ours. We got to give God the glory.
Amen.
We got to live for him. Because he's coming back soon. Sooner than you realize. I know they used to say it a long time ago. He's coming back. He's coming back. The signs are there. He's closer than you realize. So be ready. And listen here. Don't be calling up the pastor when he comes back. He said, Pastor, somebody said he's here. Are you gone yet? Did you even reach him? I'm on that train. I'm on that train already. Amen. So don't be looking for me. Did he call? Somebody said he's coming. If you got that question, guess what? You done missed the boat. And he'll get you in the second time. Because you still have a chance back for it. But don't depend on that now. You hear me? Because that's going to be the worst thing you've ever experienced. What comes after the rapture? You don't want to be here. You don't want to experience that. You want to go before at the rapture. Not after the rapture. Not the second coming. But when he comes in the meeting in the sky. When it says every eye shall see him. The dead in Christ shall rise. And we are left to be caught up to be in the air, ever to be with the Lord. It's coming. Be ready. He's coming back for you and for me. Be ready. For he's coming for you. Oh, hallelujah. It's time, church. It's time. There might be somebody here who says, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. And listen, you don't have to come to Solid Rock Baptist Church. Just give your life to Christ and find a church home wherever you want to. But give your life to him. Is there somebody here that wants to give their life to Christ? Is there somebody who wants to make a decision and dedication for Christ? Is there somebody here? We all right where we are? We're okay, huh? That's all right. Let's pray. Father God, bless your people. Anoint us, God. Bring healing in our spiritual body. Bring healing in our physical body. Let us draw near to thee and thou draw to us. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our mistakes. Give us another opportunity to serve you. Now to him who can keep us from falling and present us faultless before his soon coming. Glory, Master, bring it to us, please. Bless us, heal us, deliver us, seal us until that day of redemption. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in the name of Jesus. And we say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Give him a hand.